Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're touching on some of the headlines, some of the main ones. One of the main ones, I should say, is dealing with that we see taking place with the Middle East being set ablaze, if you will. With the battle being brought on by the Islamic jihadists, the Arabs, the ones that are called Hamas today. And our previous caller, Jim, we were talking about some of the things that are indicators of the apostate church and some of the indications of the falling away. And I'm looking at an article that will tie the loose ends up on that statement prior to our news break. Here's an article that is, I think, very, very clear, and it's one by Tony Perkins. Tony Perkins is saying this. Let me read the brief statement. A recent post-election survey from renowned Christian pollster Dr. George Barner revealed troubling numbers. His polling found that the majority of those who voted for President Joe Biden were less likely to have a biblical worldview. In fact, 75% of the president's, that's Joe Biden, of the president's base thinks there is no absolute moral truth biblically. Barner responded to the findings saying, the more the United States puts distance between itself and its moral and spiritual moorings, the less likely we are to have an effective, vibrant government and a healthy, vibrant way of life, end quote. I think that summarizes it very clearly as to where we are and what brings about the absence of an understanding, biblically speaking, among those in the evangelical world called Christians today. But ladies and gentlemen, the headline news, the major news today, the major emphasis today that we need to think on, and we'll look at other briefer issues, less important from the standpoint of a global interest. But right now we're talking about what's taking place in Israel. And there's a mindset today with Joe Biden and the Biden cabal that's in charge, the Biden Manchurian president, Trojan horse, and we'll talk about that further. Biden is not in control of the White House. The Bible is not in control of his own things that he does himself personally. Joe Biden is in cognitive decline. If you have listened to this broadcast any length of time, you'll recall that way, way, way back before the election, I was talking about the 7 reasons that Joe Biden is disqualified to be a president, a presidential candidate. And one of them was his cognitive inability to manage the position of president. But ladies and gentlemen, back to the issue of what's taking place in Israel. Here's an article that says, Palestinians provoked conflict with attacks on Jewish worshipers. Now you ask the question, what is the spark that brought about this fresh new battle in Israel? It took place just as this article states. The Hamas rockets attack now targeting Israel's largest city have been characterized as retaliation and a tit-for-tat cycle of violence with the Jewish state. But it began when Hamas, a designated terrorist organization that rules Gaza, encouraged young people to stockpile rocks, stones, and chunks of concrete in the El-Aqsa Mosque on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, pointed out Joel Rosenberg in an interview Tuesday. Rosenberg, chief editor-in-chief of the All Israel News, noted Hamas instructed the Palestinian youth to throw the rocks at Jewish worshipers in the Western Wall Plaza. That's what was tactically, that's what has tactically set things off in Israel. Israel forces then had to move in to the Temple Mount to protect the worshipers and stop this violation of religious freedom. And of course, he said, this was designed to pull Israeli forces into it and then create a moment where you have to use tear gas and you have all of this stuff going on so that on television, the radical Islamic world could begin to say Israel is encroaching on our religious freedom and they are desecrating our holy site, end quote. The media acts as though suddenly one day Israel decided to be mean to the Palestinians and start bombing Gaza, end quote. Here's another article that touches on it. Biden arms Israel with mixed messages on the attack. Now, here's something that the general public is not aware of and has not been publicized by the Communist Network News, dated May 18th. For a while, the sky was still, with smoke billowing through Gaza. The overnight lull for the was interrupted by more rocket fire. Israeli jets, which had been grounded in hopes of longer quiet before takeoff, resuming a flight that shows no signs of stopping. On the West Bank, where fuel and humanitarian aid was finally getting through, an explosion of mortars put a halt to the convoy, and the government was forced to close the borders. To the north, now shelling from Lebanon, came on to an abrupt halt when Israel fired back. I'm sure that all of our enemies around us see the price we have levied for the aggression against us, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu warned, and I am sure they will learn their lesson, end quote. But it goes on to talk about the fact that Joe Biden is saying that we stand with Israel. Joe Biden is saying that we stand with you, but unknown to the general public, he had a telephone call to Benjamin Netanyahu demanding that the Israelis cease and desist their terrorist attacks, as he called it, against the Palestinians. And at the same time, claiming that he's still going to fund the support for Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, that's double talk. That is absolutely double talk. This article says, we grieve for every non-combatant loss of life in Gaza, and we grieve for all the civilians who have died, Netanyahu said. As for Hamas, they're happy with their own civilian casualties because it gets the international community to focus on Israel's attack. That's wrong. It's both wrong and unproductive. But actually what it does is prolong the conflict and escalate an increase in the number of casualties that has happened as a result of the continuation of the conflict. Here in the U.S., the Democrats and the leftist media have happily played along, openly condemning Israel for its act of self-defense. We get it, Senator Ted Cruz of Texas blasted the radical press enablers. You don't like the Jews is what it is. And yet the media finger-pointing, combined with the outrage from the Democrats' most vocal anti-Semites, has sparked all kinds of anti-Israeli backlash. Streets from Chicago to L.A. have been filled with protest as misguided Americans burn blue and white flags and carry signs about Netanyahu and its war crimes. The Republicans, like Michael Waltz, Republican of Florida, the whole scene is sickening. Israel is a democracy. Israel is our ally, he argued, and Washington watch. By contrast, Hamas is a terrorist organization that is not only firing thousands of rockets into the cities intended to cause casualties, but they're doing so, standing behind their own civilians, deliberately launching these rockets from schools, hospitals, and mosques. They want Israeli counterattacks on the buildings, on these innocents, Walt said, so they can use it as propaganda. It's sad, and it's disgusting. Hamas has launched almost 4,000 rockets into Israel as of now, this article says. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about what's happening in Israel. And I read, before we take our next caller, I want to read a verse or two from Zechariah, the 12th chapter, beginning with about verse 2. God says, behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people around about, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day, now, ladies and gentlemen, the prophetic context is in the day that is taking place after the rapture of the church. We're seeing the foreshadowings now. And what you see in this text is very vividly pointing to where we're headed as a globe and what's happening in Israel. Israel is God's prophetic eschatological minute hand. When you want to understand what God is doing prophetically, look at Israel. If you want to know what God's doing prophetically, look specifically at Jerusalem. This text further says, in that day, while I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all the people, all that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. In that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse. It goes on to talk about what God's going to do in that ultimate battle. Verse 6 says, in that day I will make the governor of Judah like the hearth of a fire among the wood and like a torch of fire. Verse 8, in that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. In verse 9, and it shall come to pass that in that day will I, God's saying, will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Verse 10, and I, God speaking, will pour out in the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him in a mourning for his only son. Ladies and gentlemen, what we're seeing and what we need to understand is God's in control. God's on the throne. God is going to protect the apple of his eye, the nation of Israel. And any nation that comes against the nation of Israel will be coming against the hand of God. But these nations, especially America and its leadership under the Joe Biden leadership today, does not seem to fathom that. The same was true with Barack Hussein Obama, where he wanted to crush Israel. I believe the Democrats literally hate the Jewish people and hate the Jewish people as a nation. Here's an article that says, Israel prepares for possible ground invasion in Gaza at any given moment as war rages on. Jerusalem, Dateline, Israel. The fighting between Israel and Gaza continued Friday with no signs of stopping. Israel is amassing thousands of troops along the Gaza border ahead of a possible ground invasion into the Hamas-controlled territory. The military called upon an additional 9,000 reservists to the Gaza frontier Thursday evening, as a major signal that the conflict is escalating despite efforts by the Egyptian mediators to broker a ceasefire. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, we're finding now with other nations calling upon Israel to cease and desist, other nations surrounding Israel claiming that Israel is at fault, they're the terrorist, and they're calling on that. Ladies and gentlemen, what we're watching is the precursor to the ultimate day after the rapture of the church, when we find these things coming to the great conflagration that will ultimately call the Battle of Armageddon. This is not it, but it's the indicator of that coming day. It is a precursor to what will be found in Ezekiel 38 and 39, where Russia and Iran, old Persia, and the nations that are anti-Israel will come against Israel, five nations led by Russia. And Turkey is one of those nations, ladies and gentlemen. And Turkey has already stood up now with its head leader, and they're calling on Israel as the terrorist, as the ones that are causing the terrorism, and demanding that Israel cease. And Turkey is demanding today that all international nations come against Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, we're watching the signs of the times. We're watching the stage being set. We're watching the hand of God taking place on a global level, primarily out of Israel today. I believe we have Lily on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Youngblood, and may God continue to bless you and strengthen you as you do what you're doing. It's really sad. I think we're experiencing a very pathetic time when America that we're living in today is so very divided, so divided. And as the Bible says, a house divided cannot stand. And the president in the White House today is acting it out so aptly. The whole divided situation in America. The president is acting it out dramatically before our eyes. While he's pretending to be looking out for Israel as a true ally of Israel, on the other hand, he's kindling the fire. He's responsible for starting up the flames, start getting things going, and he's feeding the enemy. He's strengthening the Palestinians, the terrorists, to do what they're doing to Israel. And it's sad to think that, in fact, America has been doing that over the years. We were saying that the one favor that America has is that it has is that the only ally of Israel. When all other nations has turned their back on Israel, America has stood out as the only ally. But in truth and in fact, coming down through the years, the Carter years and coming down, the America has really been playing a terrible game, as it were, a Judas behavior, a two-sided. In other words, while pretending to be an ally of Israel, on the other hand, has been strengthening the enemy and working against Israel in a dramatic way. Because if American taxpayers' funds, American taxpayers' money has been used to be strengthening the Palestinians, when they know what the Palestinians stand for, the total demolition or getting rid of Israel, and they have been supported. Why would you support the terrorist enemies of the only God have the answer? But no wonder, I'm thinking, no wonder the scripture don't show us any, we don't see anything of where America will be standing in the last days. We are in a bad position. A Judas game is terrible, really terrible.
Yeah, put it so clear and so succinctly, Lily. Thank you so much for your insight and your call. And we're seeing the disintegration of our support and our hand-in-hand working with Israel. And as we disengage with Israel, we will watch the hand of God judging America. Because any nation that does not stand with Israel, God's word says he will judge. And I am dogmatic about that, because what we're seeing with the Biden administration and with the anti-Semites in the House and the Senate, with Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar and Presley and others and AOC that are taking the stand against Israel, wanting to disengage with any purchase or any doing business with Israel even. And so it's a sham for the Biden to say that he's going to support Israel, publicly saying that, and behind the scenes doing everything but that. So, Lily, thank you so much for your insight and for your call. Keep on looking up, even though we're talking about things that are sounds very, very dangerous and dark and devastating. We're talking about the Word of God leaping off the pages today in the headline news. Here's an article that says, Israel destroys Hamas headquarters, dozens of terror operatives inside. I don't know if you watched some of the film footage on television, ladies and gentlemen, but a tall building, I don't know, looked like 5 or 10 stories tall, that was housing the Hamas terrorists. They were hiding, if you please, operating out of a major correspondence building, including the Associated Press meeting there in that building, filming and releasing news headlines from that building. And it's where Hamas was taking shelter, shield, in that building. And so Israel wiped the building off the map. I watched as the building totally collapsed, because with the Israeli intelligence, they knew where the Hamas leaders were. This article says, Israel destroys Hamas headquarters, dozens of terrorist operatives inside. On Thursday, the Israeli Air Force struck a number of targets in Gaza Strip that were critical for Hamas day-to-day functioning, including the terrorist group Central Bank Intelligence Center and their internal security headquarters. Dozens of Hamas operatives were reportedly inside the intelligence and security centers at the time of the bombings. Airstrikes also destroyed the home of the high-ranking Hamas commander and killed a squad of elite Hamas Navy commandos, along with the home of the headquarters leader. Also destroyed 4 apartments and were reportedly used for the operations centers, directing rocket fire toward Israeli civilians, civilian targets, etc. And the article goes on. But it's as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, that one of our senators, I've forgotten which, or one of the representatives, conservative representative, asked the question, what was the AP, Associated Press, doing housed with Hamas to begin with? And yet that is what they do. They hide behind nurseries and daycares and schools and hospitals and places of interest like that, so that Israel will not fire missiles or launch attacks against it. But this time, I understand that Israeli forces had given them notice to get out of the building, because we're going to wipe it off the map. And they at least had a few hours notice. They got out. but some of them did not, and the building was totally demolished. But here's the key. Here's the key to what I want us to understand today. It is God's word jumping off the page, where now there are international forces being called to come against the nation of Israel. This article says Turkey calls on international forces to conquer Jerusalem. After a cabinet meeting in the presidential complex in Ankara last Monday, a Turkish prime minister held a media conference in which he called on the UN, Security Council, Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, and other international organizations to take actions focusing on wrestling Jerusalem away from Israel. Yes, they are intent on taking Jerusalem. You notice, ladies and gentlemen, all of the previous presidents, with the exception of Donald J. Trump, all of the other presidents were talking about the two-state solution. Trump touched on it. Some of the proponents in his organizational structure in his cabinet and others suggested that. But, ladies and gentlemen, the two-state solution has never worked, and it shall never work. God's word promises that Jerusalem will never be divided. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, just about all of the presidents, past and present, are talking about the two-state solution, where you take Jerusalem and divide it and have East and West Jerusalem, with the capital of the jihadist Islamic terrorist as the capital in one part of Israel, Jerusalem, and for Israel to be headquartered, i.e., in the other part. Ladies and gentlemen, Jerusalem has been the capital of Israel for about 4,000 years now. You go back and study the scripture, and you understand that it's been the headquarters for Israel for about 4,000 years. But it was not considered the capital of Israel. Tel Aviv was, up until Donald J. Trump. And as you recall, President Trump simply enacted the 1995 law called the U.S. Embassy Act, that was supposed to go into effect under under Bill Clinton and then Barack Hussein Obama. Neither one of the presidents had the spine, the backbone to do it. And under that, the capital was supposed to be moved from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Well, President Trump did that. And as a result of that, as you recall, there was a screaming cry from all over the Middle East that it was going to cause bombing, it was going to cause a war, it was going to cause a fierce battle between the Islamic jihadists and the Jewish people. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, it did not. It did not. And yet it was honorable to find President Trump designated Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. The capital was put there, and our embassy was placed there in Jerusalem, as it should be, as the headquarters, the capital of Israel for 4,000 years. And here we have now Turkey, and you go to Ezekiel 38 and 39, and ladies and gentlemen, you find Turkey will be part of the five-state, five-nation coalition that is carried out and led by Russia against the nation of Israel. And here's Turkey doing that very thing. They're calling on the international organizations, that is, if you put it in the Youngblood vernacular, all international Islamic jihadist nations to come against Israel and to wrestle, that is, to take by force Jerusalem from them. Further, the article states, at this point, we believe there's a need to separate arrangements on Jerusalem to achieve lasting peace and tranquility in Jerusalem, which contains the indispensable religious symbol of Muslims, Jews, and Christians. Everyone must make a sacrifice, Erdogan said. In today's circumstances, it would be the most correct and consistent course of action for Jerusalem to be administered by to take Jerusalem from the Jews and let it be administered by a commission of representatives from the three faiths. Otherwise, it doesn't appear that it will easily or possibly be achieved having a lasting peace in this ancient city. This is the head of Turkey, Erdogan, saying. Erdogan has frequently made disturbing claims, notice, on Jerusalem as a Turkish birthright, specifically stating that perhaps based on areas of once began being a part of the Ottoman Empire, 1516 to 1917. Ladies and gentlemen, there will not be real peace in the nation of Israel and in Jerusalem until the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, descends and sets up his throne in Jerusalem out of the new temple that shall be rebuilt, will be in vogue and in existence during the days of the tribulation. They've been wanting to rebuild the temple now for some time in Jerusalem, and it must be on the Temple Mount, where now is the El-Aqsa Mosque. And ladies and gentlemen, one day one of those Scud missiles from Iran will go off target, go off its target, and will wipe that El-Aqsa Mosque off the Temple Mount. and the Temple Mount movement that's already been underway in Jerusalem for years and years and years will start to rebuild the temple. It will be the third temple. It will be the temple that the Lord Jesus Christ will come back to and will rule and reign. He will enter the eastern gate, according to my scripture, and enter in and be seated on the throne. It will rule for 1,000 years. It's called the millennial reign. And ladies and gentlemen, that's only then when peace will be found in the Middle East. Until then, there will be a modicum of what you and I, from the secular humanist, humanly speaking standpoint, will call peace. But that real peace won't take place until then. But ladies and gentlemen, in this city, this article continues, in this city that we had to leave in terms, this is Erdogan now, which is the head of Turkey, saying that we had to leave Tears during the First World War, it is still possible to come across traces of the Ottoman resistance. They're talking about the Islamic terrorists when they talk about the Ottoman resistance. They're talking about the Ottoman Empire was the empire of the Islamic jihadists of that day. So Jerusalem is our city, Erdogan is saying, the Turkish prime minister, a city from us, he said in the major speech policy in 2020. In his speech on Monday, Erdogan referred to Israel as a terror state that must be taken over by international nations. Ladies and gentlemen, they're calling for an absolute all-out war against Israel to try to wrestle out of the hands of the Jewish people, the apple of God's eye, the city of Jerusalem. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to bring you good news. They might try. They might attempt. But ladies and gentlemen, that's an impossibility. It shall not happen. The very time that it seems that the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, the apple of God's eye, when it seems as though they're going to be absolutely eviscerated, totally annihilated, it's then that triggers the clock of God that releases the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that shall return in great victory and destroy the enemies of the church and the enemies of God and the enemies of Israel with the sword of his mouth. Revelation chapter 19, verse 17 through 21. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about issues that's in the news that we need to recognize, that's prophetic news coming right from the Word of God, revealing the future of what God is going to do in this old world. I commend it to you. Study the Word, read the Word, memorize the Word, meditate on the Word. Let the Word of God direct your life. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today on this broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air, as once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also, tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.